Let's begin with a word of prayer. Eternal, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we approach thy throne in this morning hour, thankful, Lord, that we are able to be here, thankful for thy word that is in front of us, thankful for the promise of thy good and thy Holy Spirit that would direct us into all truth. Thankful, Lord, for all that thou dost do for us. And so it is in thy name, Lord Jesus, that we come before thee. We pray blessings upon the reading of thy word, the meditation thereof, and Lord, that thou wouldst grant us grace to apply it to our lives. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For our reading this morning, let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Read chapter number 19, beginning with verse number 16.
Evanđelje po Mateju, 19. glava, početak od 16. broj.
And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. A familiar passage of Scripture is before us this morning. Familiar because we've heard it from our youth, and then also it's familiar because it's not only here written in Matthew's Gospel, but it's written in Mark's Gospel, and it's also written in Luke's Gospel as well. And if we look at the three accounts in the various Gospels, we can conclude that the man that came to Jesus was young, as it's recorded here in Matthew, that as he came to Jesus, that he ran and he knelt before Jesus, as is recorded in Mark's Gospel, and that he was a ruler, a young ruler, as recorded in Luke's Gospel. So this is the man here that has an earnest desire, a desire to worship the Lord, and a desire that is specific in that he's requesting, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And with that thought, with that premise, that our desire is that we might have eternal life, let's consider this scripture. Let's consider how Jesus responded to this rich young ruler who earnestly came to him, kneeling and running to him to get this answer as to what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life. This is a desire of ours, that our souls would live on. We recognize that this flesh will not inherit eternal life. We recognize that we live in a corrupt earth. We recognize that this earth and the heavens as we know them will no longer be. And so in our hearts and in our souls, we yearn for eternal life. This is our desire. And so the young ruler that came to Jesus earnestly had this desire. What good thing might I have that I might have eternal life? Likewise for us. We know that we are to worship the Lord God, and him only shall we serve. When Jesus was tempted, he was tempted with having control over all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And Jesus responded to Satan by saying, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." If we want eternal life, we know this to be true. We know this to be true, that we shall worship the Lord our God, the Lord our God, the God of all things, that we should worship him and him alone, to serve him. So this we know to be true, that if we are to have eternal life, it is God and God alone who is our God that we ought to worship and to serve. Isaiah records that the Lord said that, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give unto another, neither my praise to graven images." Our God wants us to serve him and to serve him alone. That we would not be in idolatry, but that we would have God in our hearts and him first. That was true from the time of Adam and Eve. That was true through the history of the Israel people, the Jews. And that was true in Christ's time, the apostles' time. And since then, God wants us to have him first in our hearts. That we would worship him, our God, and him alone, and that we would not be in idolatry. During the time of the apostles, there arose a difficult situation. Some of the Jews thought that the Gentiles should keep the Mosaic law. And as the apostles assembled themselves together and considered that matter, they said, we weren't able to do it, and how can we impose that on the Gentiles? So we'll have them do four things. We'll have them to stay away from idols and from fornication and things strangled and from blood. But when they considered it, they considered it saying that they would keep the Gentiles and all believers in Jesus Christ from the pollutions of idols. Knowing that idols are what contaminates. Idols are what makes our souls, our spirits filthy. Because it takes away the pureness of worshiping God and keeping him first in our lives. Keeping him first in our lives in all matters. So, Jesus responds to this rich young ruler who came running and kneeling before him by saying, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." There is one Lord. There is one Lord. In him only shall we serve, and he alone is good. And it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, that leads us to take away the filth and the pollution of idols out of our lives and to allow us to worship him and to serve him only. And that's the goodness of God. It leads us to this repentance. And so Jesus is saying there is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And we know this, again, to be true. Keep the commandments that were delivered unto us. The Mosaic law was given, and the children of Israel were to keep those commandments that were given to them by the Lord God. And so the rich young ruler requests specifically which ones. He wanted to know what they were so that he knew that he was on the right course, that he might inherit eternal life. And Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Things that are written in the Ten Commandments. In the Mosaic law, these things are written. Jesus saying, keep these things. And the young man says unto him, all these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Here's the critical question that this young man had for Jesus. Knowing who Jesus was, the Son of God, knowing he was the Messiah, knowing that he was bringing forth the Word of God to the people there, and he accepted it of himself as well. And so he's saying, I've kept these things. I should be good. I kept these things. But what lack I yet? What lack I yet? And in Mark's account of this gospel, that Jesus beheld him and loved him. Jesus looked upon him and loved him. Again, that word behold is written in this event that happened multiple times. So there's this recognition, there's this consideration. Jesus considered this young man, and he loved him. And he wanted to answer that question to him properly, that he might what way it may be that he might have eternal life. And so Jesus responds and says, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Jesus knew that in this young man's heart, that he had something that was higher in his heart than it ought to be. And so Jesus knew that he was in idolatry. He was in idolatry. So, in the children of Israel's time, as they made these golden calves and fell to the prey of worshiping the idols of the nations round about them, they fell in idolatry. And often we look back at them and say, how could they have? That's foolishness. But here this young man fell into the trap of idolatry of covetousness. And Jesus taught multiple times about the sin of idolatry, of covetousness. Two times in the New Testament it's written that that covetousness is idolatry. That's idolatry. And today that's our modern day idolism, is covetousness. We are surrounded by marketing, by the elevating of the goods of this world to that where it doesn't belong. And our hearts could fall for these things. Jesus gave very good instruction to the children, to the disciples, when he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. We know this to be true, and we embrace this. But yet we live in the flesh, and yet we live in America here in this time with the circumstances that are around about us, and how the goods of this world are just elevated and pushed and highly regarded. But Jesus says, beware of covetousness. Be aware of that. And we need to be aware of that. Because this young man, this young ruler, had a difficult time with that. And we, likewise, can have a difficult time with that. With covetousness, desiring more, better, and yet higher standards of living. And so Jesus says, beware. Beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth. A man's life consists of so much more. that where God, who is good, can give us things that are far more valuable than the things that this world would hold dear and place value on. So when Jesus gave him that instructions of saying, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, go give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me, it says that the young man heard that saying, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Great possessions. Possessions of this world. If we look back now 2,000 years at this young man, whatever he had, it's probably buried in the earth. It's covered. It has no value now. And likewise, as we go through life, we have things when we're young that we hold to be very valuable, and we want them. We covet them. We earnestly desire them. And then after some time goes by, a year or two, well, we don't need that. We lost it somewhere, and it doesn't even matter because we're not interested in it anymore. And then we get a little older, and it's new things. We want those things, and we earnestly want them. And then some time goes by, and, well, yeah, that wasn't so important. It's this next thing, and the next thing, and yet it's all going to burn. The Bible tells us so, that heaven and earth shall pass away. All things that we have and have in our possession that we can rightly say that this belongs to me, this is mine, it's all going to burn. And so we are to be guarded against idolatry, the sin of covetousness, which is idolatry. So after this young rich ruler, though he came running and kneeling, earnestly asking, what may I do to have eternal life? He now goes away softly and sorrowfully, in probably a slow manner, and with great regret in his heart, because he had great possessions. So then Jesus turns to his disciples and says, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And so when the disciples heard this saying, they marveled, they were astonished, exceedingly amazed, the Bible here says in Matthew's gospel. And they say, who then can be saved? If not even rich people can enter into heaven, who then can be saved? And in one of the other gospels, it clarifies and says, those that trust in riches. Because Abraham was very wealthy, Job was very wealthy, Solomon was very wealthy, yet they didn't fall into the trap of idolatry. Yet they held God first in their lives. God was first. And so we are to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Here, even as we read here of these commandments. And not to fall into this idolatry. So it's possible to have the possessions of this world, but our heart isn't in them. We hold them very, very loosely. And we hold them with the perspective of, this is all just going to burn. Someday it's just going to be gone. And it really, really doesn't matter. The Lord God had to remind the children of Israel continually, don't fall into idolatry. Don't fall into idolatry. As they left the land of Egypt and they made their way through the wilderness and they're getting ready to enter into the promised land, God had to remind them through Moses, saying, love me with all of your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he tells them not to forget him. Do not forget me. The Lord God told the children of Israel, you're going into this land, don't forget me. You're going into this land, and you're going to have houses that you didn't build. You're going to have wells that you didn't dig. You're going to have olive trees and vineyards that you didn't plant. And you're going to eat, and you're going to be full, and God tells them, and don't forget me. Don't forget me. We live in a land of plenty likewise, more than the children of Israel had, I would argue. And it's possible for us to forget the Lord God. And God told them, don't forget about me in your hearts, he told them. but keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. And Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And we are to hold God in our hearts as the highest thing in our hearts, and not allow the things of this world to deceive us. Even as Jesus gave that parable about how the seed fell into the different hearts. Jesus said, he also that receives seed among the thorns and heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. This is why we need to guard against covetousness. This is why we have to guard about not allowing ourselves to be deceived by the riches of this world, because they choke out the word. They choke out the word, and the word then isn't fruitful to us. So rather than putting the marketing and the advertising in front of us all the time, let's put the Word of God in front of us more often, perhaps, than we are. Let's have God to be number one in our hearts at all times. The young man asked this question, what lack I yet? Let's, with sincere hearts, turn to the Lord and say, what lack I yet? This young man knew those Ten Commandments, and he could readily say, yeah, from my youth up, I've never committed adultery, I've never killed, I've never lied, I've never bore false witness, and I honor my mother and my father. Yes, I've kept all these things. Likewise for ourselves, we can say, I haven't committed adultery, I haven't murdered, I haven't lied, I don't lie, I honor those round about me, my neighbors. We could say the same things that this young man said. We can say, I go to church, I attend West Akron regularly. I do my part. But yet if we, in doing all these things, if we come to the Lord and say, what lack I yet? Let him speak to us. As the Lord here did to this young man. That Jesus looked upon him, he beheld him and loved him and said, yet lackest thou one thing. The psalmist said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Let's kneel before the Lord. There's time. There's now time. For us brothers and sisters, as well as our dear friends and converts, we have the time. Let's kneel before the Lord and say, what lack I yet? Thou hast given me grace to walk in thy ways. Thou hast given me grace in that. But what lack I yet? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Is there any covetousness there? Do I desire for more? Do I have envy in my heart against my neighbor? Is there anything in my life that would keep me from this goal of what must I do to inherit eternal life? And so they are amazed. These disciples are amazed, and they say, who then can be saved? And Jesus simply says, with men it's impossible, but not with God, for all things with God are possible. We can't save ourselves. We can't save. We can't do enough good works to save our souls. But our Lord God saved us. He sent us Jesus Christ. He loved us with a love that we can't imagine. We sing of his love. We read of his love. We meditate on his love, and it goes beyond our mental capacity to fully understand the love of God. And why would he love us so? He gave us unto us his only begotten Son. And then the Bible says, and if he's given us his Son, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God loves us and gives unto us of his abundance and blesses us richly. Ought not we to hold him first in our hearts? Ought not we, because he loved us so, that we would love him in return with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourself? And so let's earnestly ask of the Lord, what lack I yet? What lack I yet? What are some liberties, or what are some things that I'm being a little bit casual about in my spiritual life that I'm allowing to happen? And perhaps God is not well pleased with that. And he wants to tell us that you're taking liberties in, that you're not holding so dear, is something that's idolatrous in your heart, in that you're holding it higher in your hearts than simply loving me in return. So Peter responds back to the Lord, and again he's saying, "Behold, Lord, consider this. Lord, you know these things. Behold, we have forsaken all and have followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" Peter is saying, we've forsaken it all. We've forsaken it all. There's nothing that we have as far as possessions or as far as anything else in our hearts that we hold dear to us. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus answers him and says, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me, and in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit upon the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit eternal life, everlasting life, as the desire of the young ruler who came and running and kneeling before Jesus, saying, 'What must I do to have eternal life?'" And Peter's saying, we've forsaken all, and Jesus says, if you've forsaken all, then you will have eternal life. And so that's how we worship the Lord, our God, and him only we are serving, in that we have him first and foremost in our lives and not else above him in our lives. There's nothing more that we yearn for and long for and meditate on and think about and have a disposition and attitude towards, nothing in this world more than God, more than him. Jesus says that he that forsaketh all that he hath and followeth me, unless one forsake all that he hath and follows me, he cannot be my disciples. So the only way we can be Jesus' disciple is to forsake all. Peter says, we've forsaken all. And Jesus says, you've forsaken all? Lands, relationships, houses, possessions? If you've forsaken it all, you shall have eternal life. And so again, let us ask of the Lord, what lack I yet? As this young ruler did himself. There were some that came to Jesus and said, "Lord, Lord, let me just read this. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he which doeth the will of my Father." Doing the will of the Father is honoring, worshiping the Lord, our God, and him only serving. "He that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" Again, I haven't committed adultery, haven't murdered, I don't lie, I don't bear false witness, I honor my mother and father, I do all these things. These people are saying the same thing. "We prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and have done many wonderful works." And Jesus professes unto them, saying, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Iniquity is idolatry. Iniquity is having something else in our hearts that is far above God in our lives. Something that we yearn for and long for. Yes, we may do what God would have us to do in some things. But if God isn't first in our hearts, then we are in idolatry. We're in idolatry if God isn't first in our lives. And so though these people have done great things in the name of Jesus, God wasn't first in their lives. And they worked iniquity. They had iniquity in their lives. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus answering them said, "Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We can do good things in our lives. There are many Americans that have not committed adultery, that have not murdered, that don't lie, that honor their neighbors, that have a congenial relationship with their neighbors, but they don't have Christ first in their lives. If there's anything first in our lives, we ought to come before the Lord and say, "What lack I yet?" And then when God speaks to us, as Jesus spoke to this rich young ruler, that we wouldn't turn away and go away sorrowfully, but that we might gladly heed the words of life that would be given unto us. And the Lord maybe show us that, well, you're placing a little bit too much value on whatever it is in this life. And when the Lord speaks to us in that manner, and when we recognize, yes, I've been thinking about that a little bit too much. Yes, I my heart was in that too much. And when the Lord points that out to us, that we would readily eliminate that out of our lives by His grace. By His grace and by His strength. We ought to be dead indeed unto sin. The Bible clearly tells us that. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we're dead to sin and the things of this world don't mean anything to us, that's one thing. But when we're alive unto the Lord, we recognize that the things that the Lord has for us, the blessings that He has for our lives, and the goodness that He has for us because he is a good God, then we recognize that the things of this world mean nothing. And the value of the treasures of heaven are far exceed anything that we can obtain in this life. Then we are most richly blessed. And so we are to be alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Don't allow that to happen. Don't allow that to happen. Don't allow sin to be alive in your lives. In any measure. Earnestly seek of the Lord, saying, "What lack I yet? Search me, O God, and know my heart." Know my heart. We can keep the commandments in a heartless fashion. We can keep the commandments. We can keep rules pretty well, but and our heart not be in it. But God is asking us that our heart would be in it, that we would love God with all of our heart. He says, don't forget, but forsake all. And so the Bible tells us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. May God give us grace. Amen.